Oh, this is the Real BS Show. And, geez, I hear crickets.
Yeah, they're all over.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, we got something interesting here for all of everybody to listen to. It's something that's taken up some storm in the last 5 to 6 days.
What's it's a guy with a guitar.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Guitar and three dogs and a microphone, and it's a steel guitar. Yeah, he's singing about some things that people need to hear about, you know?
Oh, he's upset with Washington.
Yeah, upset with Washington.
And the rest of the country.
Yeah, and he's speaking about some truths about, you know, young men putting themselves in the ground before due, and he's talking about a lot of things about how different groups of people want to control what you think or know what you're doing and what you're thinking.
So, I'll tell you, this country's getting nutty. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's something bad coming.
Yeah.
Black swan of some sort.
Right. Yeah. We got a lot of things to be focused on. And I think, you know, getting people together, knowing your neighbors, and just getting together as a community is very important this time. And, you know, we can lift each other up. You know, you don't have to rely on anybody to organize something outside of your local community. You can do it yourselves.
Well, I'm out there alone in the wilderness, and I kind of like it that way.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
I don't have to deal with anybody, really.
Right.
And everybody says, well, don't we get lonely out there? I got lots of frogs and lots of deer.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, you got your son there, too, and your grandkids.
Yeah, he's just down over the hill. I'm fine. Right. I don't need to. You got to go to Walmart once in a while.
Right.
That's as far as it goes.
I just think that, you know, when we get together and realize that there's problems, and we can solve most of them by not having anybody involved. You can get your local community together and just solve those problems. Then we don't need all these extra things going out. And so this song, I think, kind of like, it summarizes a lot of the pain that many Americans felt in the last 20 some years. And, you know, things used to be different, and some things were bad back then. I mean, you know, we're not going to deny that, but we had some kind of quality of stability, and that's kind of been missing.
Did I tell you about my finger?
Yeah.
I showed you a picture.
Yeah, you showed me a picture, yeah.
I got it covered up now. It hurts.
Tell me your story about the finger.
I just got it too close to that wood splitter, and it took the end off.
Yeah.
I popped it back on there. And
they reattached it, right?
5 hours later, I decided to go to the emergency room.
Oh, jeez.
They sewed it back on, so it looks like it might stick. I don't know.
Right.
But it sure hurts. Ooh.
Yeah.
And I got one, I don't know, a doctor that's just ruthless.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. You're dang lucky, because, I mean, yeah, I that could have been way worse, you know, right?
Yeah. But
hopefully it heals fine, you know?
I took my glove off, and there's my finger hanging there.
I said,
oh, no. What a mess.
Yeah,
what a mess. You don't know how important your fingers are until you lose one. No, holy smokes. So there goes my bass playing for a while.
What do we use, make an AI robotic arm to help you play bass?
Yeah, I don't know. Steve says he's going to make me a fingers out of silicone. Whatever. Try anything once.
Yeah.
If I know him, he'd probably do it, too.
Yeah.
But I just got to wait, you know. I just got to
let it heal. Yeah.
See what happens.
And it still hurts, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it didn't hurt till I went to the doctor yesterday and got the stitches out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can imagine.
I said, I wanted to punch him in the nose.
They didn't give you any local anesthetic at all?
No.
I mean, they should have given you some local anesthetic.
No, he didn't. I could have choked him.
Right.
But, hey, it is what it is. It's over. Hopefully, I don't have to go back and see him no more.
Right.
Nothing worse than going to the doctor, because they asked me if I was allergic to anything. I said, yeah, I'm allergic to lawyers, doctors, and needles. I said, in that order. Then at the end, put down penicillin. I'm allergic to that, too.
Right.
But, shoot. Didn't do any good. I should have put Dennis in there, too.
Right.
Oh, man. They all use needles.
Yeah, right. They do.
I got to warn you.
They do.
All right. Well, let's listen to this guy talk about north of Richmond.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richmond, north of Richmond.
Richmond, north of well, that's Washington, D.C.
That's right.
I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows it all, just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. 'Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. Look out for miners, and not just miners on an island somewhere. Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the whole beast milking welfare. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground, 'cause all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me, people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. All it is, living in the new world with an old soul. These rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just wanna have total control. Wanna know what you think, wanna know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. 'Cause your dollar ain't shit, and it's taxed to no end. 'Cause the rich men north of Richmond. Selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay.
The real BS show.
Yeah, we're back on it.
Yeah. Where'd we get that name, BS show?
You know, Bill and Seth. Yeah, the real, right. Yeah, because we're real.
Turning out to be something else.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been watching this this political thing that's what's his name?
JFK.
No, or RFK. No, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Yeah, yep. He's the son of Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, well, he's running for president on a Democratic ticket.
Yep.
And the reason it sparked my interest is because I spent an afternoon with him up at Chautauqua a long time ago, back in the, had to be in the 90s, I think. Early 90s, probably. But I did a big screen video setup. I set up the video projector, right. And I did it from the rear. So in their auditorium, or not, you know, it's like their big theater up there or something, up at Chautauqua. And it's just a whole bunch of rich, mostly women.
Right.
And they were in the audience. And so I set this up fairly early. And there's this guy walking back and forth back there. Now I'm talking backstage because I'm behind the screen.
Right.
And so it's just me and him. And he's pacing back and forth. I said, what's the problem? He says, I'm doing the thing today. And he said, I get nervous.
Right.
Get really nervous. I said, well, just pretend all those fat old ladies out there are sitting in their underwear. I said, you won't have a problem. You're nervous to go right away. He thought that was funny. But I must have hung out with him for 2 hours.
Right.
Because we were just nothing to do. And he was super, super nice guy. I mean, really down to earth, really fun guy to talk to. And just, I had no idea who he was.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know who he was until they introduced
Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. And it took me by surprise, but he was, I don't know, he was telling them all these ladies about oil wells in Africa or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nothing I knew about, so. But it was just an interesting couple hours that I talked to him, and he was just as normal and nice person you could ever want to meet.
Huh.
And so that was my introduction to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and I got to say, he was totally a gentleman and really a good guy.
Right.
So, I don't know. Just on that fact alone, I'd vote for him. I don't know what he's like now. I mean, he's telling the truth, you know, yeah. about Russia and Ukraine, and he knows the real story, and how we've just been chasing Russia left and right for the last 20 years, and Russia's finally, they've come to their end. They said that's it.
Well, some of the things that I've noticed with what he has said, I'd take issue with. He's a gun grabber, and also his comments about the Jews is not probably the most kosher thing.
See, I haven't heard any of that yet, so yeah. I haven't really done any studying. But
yeah.
I don't know. I just he ain't going to win. I mean, the Democrats don't like him, and the Republicans don't like him.
I mean, he's going up against an incumbent president, and that's a struggle there. And then, they're trying to, with Trump, it's almost like the Republican Party should have dropped Trump and just went with somebody else. That's just my political view. I think Trump's like a hot potato right now. And
well, all the rest of the Republicans are a bunch of politicians.
Yeah.
The same old crap that we've been dealing with for years and years.
Right.
Just nothing different. It's the CIA's running the thing. The Defense Department's running the whole show. You know, they're just puppets in the office. And, you know, Kennedy, I mean, they asked for Secret Service protection and Biden wouldn't give it to them.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 15-17% polling numbers, and Obama got protection at 5%.
You're right.
You know, I mean, that's by George Bush, by a Republican. So, I mean, it was just nothing makes any sense. It really doesn't.
Well, you know, he also probably knows, you know, I'm talking about RFK Jr., how his father was assassinated and how his uncle as a president was assassinated. There's some vivid memories of that, even though he was quite young.
He has memories, all right. That's for sure.
And you know, I said, there's issues that you know, the fine details of some of his views. Because I looked into him, I wanted to know what kind of man he was, and he's definitely a Democrat for sure. He has Democratic views. He believes
in. Well, he went down to the border and actually spent a few days down there.
Yeah.
In Arizona or. And what he saw, I mean, he describes what he saw, and he just couldn't believe it. It was just awful.
Yep.
And, the hundreds of people that were coming across, maybe two of them were from Mexico.
Right.
All the rest were from other countries outside of Latin America.
And this is no excuse when I say this, but, you know, the problem is we're not the only reason, the U.S. is not the only reason why those people are coming here, but some of the things that we did down there did cause major instability, but that's not the only. We can't sit there and just blame everything on the United States. It's those own people running those countries that are extremely corrupt and
the drug cartels making a fortune.
Yeah, yeah,
and just
it's
terrible.
More, it's even beyond the drugs, because those area. The reason they're coming here is because they're trying to escape the persecution that's happening there. Besides just the drugs, it's also the corruption and the warland that's happening in those countries.
Well, he said he saw a lot of Chinese. These people,
yeah.
A lot of people from Uganda.
Yeah,
he named several other ones, and he said they were just coming here to try to achieve a better life. There was no political.
Yeah. Look at all the people that are from Dominican Republic escaping the hell there in Haiti too. You know, the people are escaping those countries to get here. You know, we have to recognize what we have here is there's a reason why they want to come here. Sadly, those countries have been torn apart and internally and externally from forces outside.
And yeah, most of them are forces.
Yeah, some of it. And, you know, this is the grand scheme of things. You know, people can sit there and blame the U.S. only, but we have to recognize that, you know, Russia and China and Turkey and Iran, Iraq, all these countries are not, they were all corrupt. And so they were in these foreign countries, like right now with China, how they're doing the Belt and Road projects, which is basically imperialism 2.0. You know, they're doing the same thing the Europeans and Americans did. And that's why I'm saying is they're all corrupt. All these countries are super corrupt and we just don't realize it. You know, that's going back to the song that we played in the beginning, you know, how much, you know, people don't realize, but they do realize if they were to sit there and sit down and think about it, how corrupt all these countries are. And no one's innocent. That's the key to this. And what we can do as individual citizens is be against that corruption and find it. You know?
Well, Kennedy's, to me, he's treading on thin ice. Number one, they won't give him any protection. He's paying for his own protection right now, $150,000 a month. But they... He recognizes that the War Department or the what do you call it neo something
conservatism
no the ones that are all about war and,
the war hawks
the big companies that are making a fortune off of these those people. He realizes and he recognizes that these people are making a fortune, and that's who's pushing this government.
It's partially that. I would say it's partially that because they're all in cahoots with basically to have control and have control of the narrative.
But, well, they're making a fortune.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, but I think it's bigger than just money. I think you go back to Eisenhower, it's about control. Eisenhower gave a farewell speech, and everyone should go look it up. What he had to say. He was a five-star general. He knew the military. He also knew the military-industrial complex.
That's the one.
Yeah,
and that's who's running the show right now.
And
for him to be speaking against them,
that's
dangerous. But very dangerous.
You know, why? Something that Eisenhower scratched out in that speech, he originally was going to call it the military-industrial Congress complex, but that was too risque at the time to say. And I think if he stuck with it, that was the truth, because it's not just the military-industrial complex. It's also the Congress involved, too. And you know how the Republicans were screaming for years under Trump and under Bush that the military is growing too much. They were quiet during Obama, but Obama increased the military budget, too. And no one's now screaming about it. They all voted for a massive increase in the military budget. And Biden was pushing for more and all this jazz. And now here we are, you know, with a massive, huge military budget, which is pennies to the dollar compared to the other social safety networks.
You take a look at this thing in Hawaii.
Yeah.
This big, just a terrible fire. And the other day they asked Biden about it, because he's asking for $23, $24 billion more right now for Ukraine.
Yeah.
And they asked him about Hawaii. He says, I don't have no comment.
No comment.
What? Unbelievable. And these people are in desperate straits. You know, it's just, I think the World Economic Forum wants to just buy up the whole place and, make Hawaii totally green.
Yeah. Well, the thing is in that situation, a hurricane came through and started fires from ripping up power lines and I don't know if you've ever been to that island, but I have.
No.
But they have a rain shadow, so that means one side of the island's really rained on, it's very lush and vegetated, and the other side is a desert because the rain gets dumped on one side of the mountain, and so they have a rain shadow effect on the other side, and that causes a dry condition. And that typhoon comes through, and it basically rips out power lines, and it starts a fire. And in that island, there's places where there's bottlenecks in the roads, so people couldn't get out of.
Well, their whole system was down.
Yeah,
there was no fire sirens. Nope, there was nothing. Nobody knew what was happening.
It's a tragic situation.
Communications were totally gone.
Yep. cell phone towers ripped up, everything. Yeah. And it's just, you know, in that situation, you know, people need to realize that they sadly don't have the infrastructure. It's a, you know, very, and that area was not a high populated area. And it's just, you know, not well, many roads.
It's awful that we're helping. I mean, you know, who's that guy for Ukraine? Belinsky?
Zelensky.
Yeah. Zelensky?
He's Jewish.
United States is paying for his security.
Yeah.
Germany,
too.
Secret Service is guarding him.
Yeah, and including Germany and the rest of some of the European Union countries. They're all funding it, yeah.
Yeah, and then Robert F. Kennedy says, I'm getting death threats all over the place.
Right.
And they say, oh, well, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Our country is just totally gone.
Yeah.
It's just totally gone.
I could sit there and point to any other countries. You know, look how we're in Niger. You know, people focus on Russia and Ukraine way too much, but we're helping countries that I don't think deserve our help.
Yeah, that's our fault, too.
Another one is Israel is one that's an example. You know, I'm part Jewish when I say this, but, you know, we're giving $3 million a day to Israel, and they don't need the money. they're you know, $3 million a day. I think Israel's financially stable enough to run their own country and their own military.
I keep talking about black swans. That's the one I think is going to be big.
Yeah.
Because they're between them and Iran and what's north of Israel?
Syria, Lebanon. Yeah, there's two countries. Yeah.
There are so many missiles piled up.
Yeah, well, you know, with Lebanon, there are inflation rates through the roof,
saying that's where the blow up's going to come from because Israel can't sit because Iran now has these supersonic missiles.
Yeah,
and they can make their own now.
Yeah, so to a point. I've you know me being prior military, I do pay attention to all the military technology because the drone stuff freaks me out, but. With Iran, a lot of their technology is failing because they can't get the proper the materials and chips and CPUs to run because they've been blacklisted. And when that starts to happen, you're seeing basically a failure of their machinery working. And Israel and the U.S. have been basically sabotaging a lot of the stuff in Iran that in most American people.
Well, things are turning around, and that's Russia could shoot our nuclear missiles down. We can't shoot theirs down.
Well, we have a system that was put in place for that. But
they got these hypersonic missiles that are just almost impossible to shoot down.
And
we don't have them.
I doubt a lot of the things that are propaganda from both sides, and so. When I seen a lot of this technology being used, including in China, a lot of it's very outdated and a lot of it's cloning what other countries already have, and it's subpar. And that's the sad reality is
I don't want to find out.
Well, no one does. I mean, I don't think any world war is going to happen. I think that's I doubt that would happen. I really do.
That's what they said about Russia.
Yeah. They're
not going to invade.
No, they were warning that. They were even under Trump. They were warning that they're building up forces.
They've been warning that for 20 years.
Well, they 2014 they took over the Crimean Peninsula. That was warned.
Now they've really started, and it's not good.
There's you know when you had Wagner. Remember how I told you about Wagner Group and how I warned you about
them? They're in Africa now.
No, well, by Belarus. Right now, they've been shipped over to Belarus. That the Wagner Group is one I've been talking about for a long time to people. That back when this all started, I was warning about the Wagner Group, and they, in my opinion, they have no allegiance to anybody, and are willing to turn a hat for
Prigozhin. The allegiance to him, and he's richer than rich.
Yeah, he's actually probably second to Putin.
Yeah,
Putin, you know, it was shocking. He didn't have him killed yet.
Yeah, right.
But the reality is Belarus is next, in my opinion, because if he gets idle there too long, he's going to rise up against the Lukashenko. Yeah, well, I don't think Poland. I think he's going to go in Belarus. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
He'll start a fuss with Poland because Poland's right on the border of Belarus.
Well, they don't have the combined arms to take Poland, and that's the reality. And this is one of the key components of this is, you know, combined arms is very important. If you don't have air superiority, you're screwed. You know, there's a reason why Iraq was, you know, the whole country was essentially taken over until the Sunni uprising. the insurgency that happened there, where they were taking out Shiites in the south, that the U.S. military was able to plunge through Iraq so quick, so we had air superiority, and also we had tactics and whatnot. But regardless, the air superiority factor, and also along with the proper use of tanks with infantry, was a very vital, important part of taking over Iraq. Whereas,
well, we're good at beating up on little countries. Now we get up against Russia and China, forget it.
We're going to be toast. I meant to say that I don't think either Russia or China, they're completely weak. Their countries are, you know, you look at Russia, we spent all this money, we spent billions and billions of dollars worrying about Russia. After I seen with all the crap that they went through, they can't even take Ukraine. You know, it's been almost 2 years now, and they can't take Ukraine.
It's called a special military operation.
It's
not a war.
Yeah, not a war. But this is the problem with war. You know, they all call it. It's the same thing as the U.S. when we went into Iraq. It wasn't war. They never declared war, did they? They sit there and claim that it was just a conflict.
All I'm telling you is Russia's getting stronger by the day.
I don't think so. I think
this sanction stuff has come to an end.
I think you look at with Wagner, what that showed was the underbelly of Russia was actually quite weak, and that they were able to get that close to Moscow, and then for Pringle guy to stop and be like, I don't want to cause any bloodshed. After he took out five helicopters and took out five brigades of Russian military, that's serious. I mean, it shows the underbelly was really cut. And that's why I said never trust the Wagner. Everyone's like talking about Wagner. They're a bunch of Nazis. And that's why I have a problem with people saying that there's Nazis in Ukraine. Yeah, there's Nazis in Ukraine and there's Nazis in Russia. But that's only like 2% of the population. It's not the whole country of either. You know, I mean, We look at the conflict there. The Wagner Group, the leaders are all Nazis. They're neo-Nazis. They have the SS symbols on their shoulders. You know, they named themselves after a Nazi composer, you know, that Hitler loved. You know, there's neo-Slavic nationalism in those countries that they believe they're superior than other races, and that's wrong. You know, I'm not saying we should go in there and do something about it. That's Europe's problem, in my opinion.
All I'm saying is that we are treading on thin ice, and we got Biden in the White House running the show. You tell me how stupid that can't be.
Well, I would say this. If Trump was in office and we had to fight war, I would trust Trump would devastate Russia. That's how I view it.
I think you're underestimating Russia.
I think Russia's not that strong. I'm going to be honest with you.
I think you're up in your 90.
We
disagree on one thing, and that's it.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I was in the infantry, and from what I've seen with how they're handling their military and how they're handling people that are deserting, that they are deserting at a rapid rate, more than people realize. And also their casualty rate is extremely high. And we only lost 5,000 people. 10,000 people between Afghanistan and Iraq in the 20-year war that we had. And then whereas this here, they've lost probably, 200,000 to 300,000 people.
You're talking 40,000.
No, even
last
still.
Last check I saw.
But even still, 40,000.
You're talking Iran? No, not Iran. Ukraine. They've lost over 300,000 soldiers.
The thing is when you have a defensive position, you have an upper hand. So they're in the defensive position. They're able to withstand the casualty rate. When you're doing offensive, you have higher rates of casualties. And that's the point that I'm making here.
Ukraine is out of bullets. They're done.
But that's the problem here. We're funneling bullets, Bill. We're giving all our ammo to them.
Yeah, we have to give them cluster bombs because we ran out of other
stuff. No, we have tons of ammo. This is the problem here. The manufacturing industry in the United States is producing massive amounts of ammo, and about half of bullets have went up in price because we're shipping. It's like something like 80% or 70 to 80% of our bullets are going to Ukraine, so they're not running out of bullets. The problem they're running into is they're wanting more money. And that's where we agree on. We shouldn't be sending money to them.
Zelensky needs to buy more houses.
He needs to get more houses. But let me ask you this. You know, they said they were going in there to remove Nazis, but when the leader of Ukraine's Jewish, it kind of counters the whole idea that they're Nazis running the country. And when reality is you have Wagner, which is like technically the second head of Russia. He's very rich, is a leading Nazi, and they don't go after him. They didn't even kill him. They gave him a vacation in Belarus. It's kind of disturbing.
I had it there for a second. Zelensky and Putin had a deal back in March or February of 2022, and which included no fighting. They initialed it. They both initialed it. President Biden and this goofball from Great Britain, Boris Johnson, they went over and told Zelensky, you're not signing anything.
Well,
there's going to be a war.
Well, you know, the problem is
here we are.
When you say that, you know, when people say that Russia doesn't want NATO expanding, which I agree, NATO should not be expanding, but they sure made Sweden and Finland, who've been very neutral countries for years, even including before World War II, they decided to be neutral. They were trying to be like Switzerland. They decided to jump ship and join NATO. So why did all these Baltic countries decide to join NATO? Why did Hungary and Turkey, they all decided to join NATO? I'm not a NATO supporter, but I'm like, well, they had a reason. Because the Soviet Union was hell for them. The Baltic states especially, they had lost millions to the Soviet Union. To deaths of under Stalin and whatnot. Well, and so it's a more of a complicated, it's more nuanced than what people want to paint it as. And I'm not black and white on this. I'm right in the middle saying that Ukraine has the right to defend itself as the U.S. has the right to defend itself.
They don't have the right to blow up the Donbass where all the Russian people, they passed laws saying that the Russian people couldn't speak Russian anymore.
Yeah, well, that's,
I mean, they were really nasty.
But
to
see,
those
that's the problem is Russia did the same thing under the Soviet Union. They're just doing the same thing the Soviet Union did. You were supposed to speak Russian only. And see, again, this is all nuanced. That's why I have a problem with anyone painting one side as the black and the other side as white in the situation.
This all could have been stopped and averted.
It should have been back in the Budapest.
And the NATO put it causing all this.
It goes back to the Budapest memorandum when they basically signed that they had assurances and guarantees that no one would invade them if they gave up their nuclear weapons. And honestly, that's probably where Ukraine made the biggest mistake. Anything of anything, they should have never gave up their nuclear weapons because no one would be invading them. That's how I view it.
Just think of Zelensky with a nuclear weapon.
Well, I'm not worried about him. I mean, Putin has nuclear weapons, and you know, obviously, Hitler.
Well, they keep screwing around. He's going to use them.
Well, then that's. I think that would happen because they realize that the end of the world would end right there. So I just don't see that happening.
I don't know.
It's mutually assured destruction.
I don't want to find out.
Anyone that's doing that should be executed automatically, thinking that's a healthy way of handling things.
I mean, look at
the history of Russia. If you look at it, whenever
you can't go by the history. Ever since the early 90s, they're not communist anymore.
Well, no, I didn't say they're communist. I'm just saying, look at the history of Russia, even pre-communism. Whenever a tyrant becomes too tyrant, they get removed violently, and that's how Russia's been. You look at the Golden Horde. Even then, you go back to throughout history. There's been women that were in power before that executed whole villages, and became assassinated later on.
Catherine the Great?
No, before her even. You're talking like 1200s, and you go back through the history of that country. They had very very violent tyrant people that got executed.
Well, you can't go back that far.
Well, yeah, it's their culture.
We were slaughtering Indians a couple hundred years ago.
But I know. But I'm just saying. You look at. I mean, even during the 50 years ago, how they subjugated. I'm not trying to make this or them. I'm not trying to do us versus them thing. I'm just saying it's their culture that the people will uprise against the tyrant. And it's the same thing in Siberia. You know, I have family that's over there in Russia. I have family that's in Ukraine. And so I have both sides of this where I know people I've talked to that are in both sides. I have a friend in Russia that's in St. Petersburg. I have people that are in Ukraine. And basically, this thing is not what the media is making out to be. It's both propaganda on both sides, and you have to read between the lies, and that's the problem in this situation.
The media, I gave up on them 10 years ago.
Right, but even still, there's propaganda outside the media. That's the other problem.
I saw what they did to me.
Sure,
local media, making up stories, all these sports.
But how about this? Even governments can put propaganda on somebody without the media. They can do it through other channels that people don't call media, but really they are. They're social influencers. So there's people out there that are social influencers that they don't get called media, but they're
propagating propaganda out there to the masses, and people don't realize that they're eating propaganda. And so the U.S. is doing it, Russia is doing it, China is doing it, everybody's doing this. And
Facebook was doing it.
Oh, sure. Facebook.
Twitter was doing it.
Oh, yeah. Twitter, you know, name any social media, any, look at people on YouTube. There's people that, like, 200,000 people on subscriptions, and they're promoting propaganda because they have an agenda. And
well, you say the wrong thing, boom, you're off.
To a point, yeah, yeah. But
you say anything about vaccines or pandemics and stuff, boom, you're off.
Well, now that people are, you know me, I'm anti-mandate, but I'm pro-vaccine. I don't think people should be forced to do anything. It's your own body, your choice. You know, you choose what you want to do with your body. You shouldn't be mandated to do anything about it. And I think that's where we failed in this country. You know, why didn't Trump get rid of Fauci?
That's a good question.
He didn't. And
so he should have.
No, well, I mean, there was too much conflict of interest. Ignore all the vaccine stuff for a second. I mean, I'm not going to, we could debate that, but you look at the conflict of interest that he had his hands tied in with labs in Wuhan, and now they found an illegal lab in California working on viruses and bacteria. You know, there's too many hands there. There was too much darkness there. But we probably should play a song here, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we're getting pretty deep in the swamp here.
Yeah.
I've got to get my boots on here. Yeah. Well, we don't know what we're talking about anyway.
Yeah, so, I'm just a software engineer.
We're like a year behind schedule. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm just worried about a black swan event that's going to. I mean, I think we're already in it, really.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
The border is just unbelievable. The stories that I've seen hold.
I'm personally very deeply worried about the economic effects that are happening in Russia and China right now, that how it's going to reverberate through the world. When we had the 2008 housing crisis, how that affected the world. And now what's happening in China is quite serious. I've been warning about China for how long, Bill?
Yeah, they're
and,
in debt.
And
they're,
it's not just
getting,
that.
They're but, getting in trouble.
But,
with their,
but it's sad to see what's happening to the Chinese people, because it's like under Mao again. They're having a cultural revolution where you can't question society. And when you can't question society and they're being imposed on it, then that's when the true freedom is being ripped away from people.
We kind of got the same situation here.
We got similar.
You question your government and you're in trouble.
I think we still have a healthy grounds for that. We can still question people. And I think we need to use it more.
Well, that's the thing about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I'm thinking he's treading on thin ice. I mean, why would he stick his neck out like that for? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, he's going to get himself.
What he was saying, that one thing I have to make a note about RFK, that the one thing I really took issue with, was he was saying that COVID affected white people more than Jewish and black people. And that's not true. Black people had the highest COVID levels.
I don't know that. I never heard that.
Well, I'm just telling you, but the facts are, the actual statistics show that black people got hit really hard by COVID. And so he was like speaking things that weren't true. I'm like, I mean, he may have read the wrong thing, but the statistics are completely out there. Many black people got sick with COVID and died. And it's not something to like say, well, they got affected less. And it's like, no, they got affected way more. And it's a sad tragedy, you know?
Well, it is what it is, you know? I mean, I never heard him say anything. I never heard him say anything about, maybe it just didn't look deep enough about the Second Amendment. But right now, I'd vote for him before I would Trump, just because I spent a couple of hours with him.
Yeah.
You know, which is stupid, you know, because who knows what's changed. I mean, he's even changed. I know he's changed his tune on some things because of what he found out later on. But I just know what a decent person he was.
Yeah.
And remarkable, you know. And so I'm stuck with that.
Yeah.
You know, I've never met Donald Trump. I got close, but I never met him.
Yeah.
So
I honestly
his wife sent me $5 in the mail.
Yeah. you know, the other one thing is you know, I look at the stimulus checks that they sent out and how much that hurt our economy, and everyone's blaming the greedy corporations, which, don't get me wrong, they can be greedy, but anybody can be greedy. Humans, it's a human nature thing that we can control. But what I have a problem with is both Trump and Biden both did stimulus checks, which caused massive inflation, those PPP loans and junk, bailouts and
stuff that got ripped off. People just took advantage of it.
But majority of the chunk was that stimulus checks that both Trump and Biden did, and that caused massive inflation. If you can't believe that, Google it. Research that where the inflation came from. And any economics...
What is inflation?
It's when the value of the dollar or currency...
No. There's too much.
That's what I'm saying.
There's too many dollars.
That's what I was going to say, is the value of the dollar is being decreased due to too much of a supply.
Right. They're printing too much.
Right. And we played this song before. I showed you with the guy from the Fed chair saying that we have an infinite amount of cash. We have an infinite amount of cash. You know, when they say infinite, there's no such thing as infinite. When you have an infinite, that means there's zero worth.
Well, see, that's the other black swan that's coming our way is this BRICS thing.
Yep.
You watch. Something big's going to happen.
That's in this month. I just don't see that happening when you look at the economies of those countries and they're in shambles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just watch and see.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants, even Mexico wants to join BRICS. They've signed up. Saudi Arabia signed up. Peru, all kinds of countries around us are signing up with the BRICS.
But the problem with that is when they're talking about a gold-backed cryptocurrency, that means they wouldn't be able to inflate the currency or deflate. So they wouldn't be able to economically control that currency. They'd be rate limited to that currency and not be able to adjust it. That would hurt their home economy.
You should call them up and let them know that. They might not know
that's
that.
That's why the problem is...
You should enlighten these people so they don't make boo-boos.
But it's not, I'm okay with a gold-backed currency. But the problem is no one wants that anymore. They like the fiat currency. And that's what, look at Russia and look at China. They have fiat currencies. They're constantly doing the same thing the U.S. is doing, but at a more grander scale of basically increasing their inflation or deflation of their currency, and it's hurting their economies. We don't want to be like Germany after World War II, or World War I, I'm sorry, taking real barrels of money to go buy bread. I mean, that's what I'm against that. I want a stable currency, and that requires silver or gold.
That one lady went to get some bread at the store, and she parked her wheelbarrow full of money outside the door. She came back out. The money was still there. Somebody stole the wheelbarrow. That's what she was upset about.
So this song that you have up here, what's that one again? I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was Band of Brothers. No, Band of...
Heathens?
Heathens, yeah.
Oh, Band of Heathens. Yeah, let's play that live one.
Yeah,
it was really a nice version of that song, much better than the recorded version.
Good harmonies, right? Yeah.
Yeah, really nice, really nice. Yeah, let's end that with... how long we've been at?
42 minutes, roughly.
Yeah, let's end today's. That way we don't want to be here too long.
Right, right.
I got a sore finger.
Yeah, a sore finger. He's got to recover that finger.
Yeah, right. Jeez. Don't ever cut your finger off.
No.
Man, does that hurt.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's listen to the Band of Heathens live.
Thirty miles on a Gulf Stream, I can hear the south wind moan. Bridges getting lower, all the shrimp boats coming home. The old man down in the quarter slowly turns his head, takes a sip from his whiskey bottle, and this is what he said. I was born in the rain on the Pacha train underneath the Louisiana moon. Don't mind the strain of a hurricane, they come around every June. The high black water, devil's daughter, she's hard, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans. A man came down from Chicago, gonna set that levee right. He said, needs to be at least a 3 feet higher, won't make it through the night. But the old man down in the corner said, don't you listen to that boy. Water be down by the morning, and he'll be back to Illinois. June. The high black water, devil's daughter. She's hard, she's cold, and she's mean. Nobody taught her. It takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans. On a Gulf Stream, I can hear the south wind moan. Bridges getting lower, all the shrimp boats coming home. The old man down in the quarter slowly turns his head, takes a sip from his whiskey bottle, and this is what he says. I was born in the rain on the Pontchartrain underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black